In the streets, deep in the mean streets, freedom fiends, live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in a car in Long Island. Man, I just heard that siren. What's up, Jeremy? What's up?
What's up, Michael?
Not a lot. How you be?
I'd be all right, man. I'd be all right.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man.
I woke up this morning and Murder Dog and I had to find a new location to sleep in because we got booted out of our last one the other night.
Now, explain a Murder Dog. That sounds horrible.
Murder Dog. Yes, Murder Dog is my pup, my Cameron, my dog. We refer to her as Murder Dog because,
why?
Well, because we fell in love with that meme that I think it was you who shared it with that with us originally the first time I saw that.
Yes, I built that by hitting share.
Yes, there's a meme with a pit bull type dog and a raccoon sitting on top of its head, kind of hugging it. And the caption says the raccoon says to the raccoon says to the dog, "Oh, I love you, Murder Dog." And then the dog says back to the raccoon, "Oh, I love you, Trash Panda."
Yeah.
So yes, we have. I've been dubbed Murder Dog myself. It is one of my many fiend nicknames. But Murder Dog, Cameron is the Murder Dog, and yeah, she's my co-pilot on our adventures on the road.
Murder Dog is my co-pilot. That might just be the name of this episode.
I think that needs to be a bumper sticker.
Murder
we need to make
dog.
That.
Well, you know, I can make T-shirts now.
Oh, there you go.
But the thing is, I have to sell one of them within. 6 months or they take them down. But
which service are you using?
Amazon.
Ah, okay.
But if you buy one, I'll make it.
you know what? I probably would buy one. So yeah.
I don't know though. It might violate the really bizarre like terms of service
Amazon. Service.
Like they might think it's about murdering dogs, which is horrible. They might not get the
the reference.
Yeah, they might think it's something that police would wear because they like to murder dogs. It seems
this is true. Heck, yeah. wasn't that one police chief out in Illinois who claimed that they would have to put all their dogs down if the drug war ended?
Yeah,
like, that's how sick they are.
Reminds me of this. Hang on a sec.
Being up through the night and like this is like the end of your day.
No, this is the start of my day, man. It's good. It's good.
Oh, nice. And,
now, sorry about the phlegm. There's a lot of smoke in Wyoming right now from there's forest fires down in Colorado, and it's kind of choking me out. Yeah,
those things still going on.
Oh yeah, all summer. It's you know, there was a station that we were supposed to get on in Colorado that was like a 10,000 watt station. And here's how everything's about me and not the world. I called them for like a year. This is like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And they kept saying, yeah, we'll put you on, we'll put you on, we'll put you on. And then like the station burned down. So that's my luck, you know. Nothing about the owner of the station or the luck of the listeners. Just me, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, as a self-absorbed individual, I understand that. It's always about me, man.
I'm sorry. I was too self-absorbed. Did you say something? What was that?
Exactly.
But I found a cool site for knowing when there's going to be smoke in your area. It's called eldoradoweather.com, and that's not a paid product placement. It's this really cool site. I think that they get some Christian computer programmers. Because there are Jesus quotes all over the site. So it's Christian weather, but it's got a smoke stat, like live predictive smoke maps for everywhere in the country for the next 24 hours. And, you know, with like how many milligrams per hour of solid particulate matter and nitrogen dioxide or something you're going to have. And pretty much lets me know when to keep my windows closed when I have, because I have asthma.
Well, that is handy.
Can you say it on radio? Yeah, you know, news.
I think you just did.
So, before we talk about your many problems, so you have.
We talked about my many problems last time.
Let's
talk about positive
now.
Things this time, Michael.
Okay, but you're in your car now. You're broadcasting from your car. You are.
This is true.
You are the king in exile of Long Island, right?
Yes, that is me.
Yep. Yep.
But what did you want to talk about first?
Well, that was your rap name back in the 80s, was the King the King of Long Island. You know, when you and Run DMC were inventing hip-hop, the hippin' and the hoppin'. Yeah. Oh, I listened to an episode that we recorded recently, and realized, that I recorded, me and myself, me and the hamster in my brain recorded. And I realized that I didn't say something I started to say, and that always bugs me. So I was, you know, at least corrected. I was wrong. So I started to tell, I was talking about how horrible laborers are these days, and how, you know, you like everyone's clamoring for $15 an hour, but I pay people $15 an hour and still can't, you know, have good part-time work helping with yard work. And I welcome our robot overlords. I can't wait for that. You know, till there's yard bots that you could buy it. You know, I don't care about the love bots at this point. I care about the yard work bots. So I got sick of, you know, paying $15 an hour and getting kids who spent the whole time on their cell phone and didn't do a lot of work, you know, spent their time swiping right while they were supposed to be doing work. So I hired this guy who was supposed to be great, this stellar company that was like $45 per man per hour. And I'm like, and I hired three guys. I mean, it was an absurd amount of money, but I'm like, don't get it done quick. So they came one day, did a whole bunch of work, did a really good job, and then said, we'll be back tomorrow morning to finish. I said, okay. They never showed up the whole next day. Like they flaked. And wow. I was paying over $100 an hour for this service. They didn't even call me. Like, if they'd called me and said, yeah, we ran into something else, we can't make it today, we'll be there tomorrow, I would have been like, cool, fine. You know, but I didn't go out. I stayed home. I was going to go shopping that day, but I stayed home. I got up, you know, got up to an alarm to be there to let them in the back gate. And yeah, man, they just flaked. And then they came back the next day, you know, no apologies, just, oh, yeah, we're here.
Oh, we're here to work. Oh, we're, man.
Yeah,
that's,
and I let them finish because, you know, the yard, like, it was halfway done, so it kind of looked worse than when they'd started. Like, there were, you know, bags of stuff everywhere. And so then they finished, and I, you know, the guy invoiced me, and I paid him probably quicker than he's ever been paid. Like, I got the email invoice, and the next day there was a check in the mail. But I'm not going to say the name of the company, but, you can't get... That was one thing. It was actually an advantage in Los Angeles. Like in every other way, living in Wyoming is better. But in Los Angeles, you could get people to work for $15 an hour. They might have been illegal immigrants. I don't know. They were a lot of times they're Mexican. But even the white guys showed up and worked because there was so much competition, you know. But here, there's like, I don't know, 6 yard companies and 8 yard companies worth of work, so they can kind of name their commands, you know, name their service, do it the way they want. But and then I went out there like 2 weeks later and I started finding like cigarette butts crunched down below the stones in my yard.
Oh, man.
Which sounds kind of petty to mention, but it's really not. I mean, no pro would ever do that. You know?
Well, I was just going to say, as somebody who still, unfortunately, still smokes the analog cigarettes, like just with the stress that I've been under, I haven't been able to give them up completely. Yeah. But I try to be very conscious of that. Like, you know, I've been out just when I've been out traveling around and stuff, I actually have an ashtray. And like I don't have an ashtray in my car because my vehicle didn't even come equipped with a lighter. Like it has the outlet, but it didn't come with a lighter. So there's no ashtray or anything. Yeah. I actually brought a little glass ashtray with me. And when I smoke, I put the cigarettes out and I either put them in the ashtray or if I'm near a garbage can, I break off the cherry and then just throw the filter, you know, in the garbage because I don't like to leave those things around because I think it's rude, especially if you're on somebody else's property.
Right.
That's kind of scummy.
And you know, maybe it wasn't them. I didn't see them do it, but they were fresh. Like I could smell them, you know, when I bent over to pick them up, I could smell them. So
they're almost definitely theirs.
Yeah. And they were like crushed. I mean, the backyard where they're working is stone. You know, it's like inch and a half to 2 inch chunks of stone. It's not grass. Mm-hmm. And they, it was like crushed down underneath them up near the house. So unless somebody trespassed to come onto my yard up by the house.
Just to smoke a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, 4 or 5 cigarettes. I really doubt that. So. Yeah,
that's like I said. That's kind of scummy, man. I'm not a fan of that.
I'm not gonna say the name of them. I'm not gonna say that they're called Cowboy State Landscape. But yeah, I wouldn't say that because you know who knows. But so yeah, can't get people to work even if you pay them $45 an hour. It's ridiculous.
That's insane, man.
It is insane.
I'm out here right now on the road, and I don't have, you know, I'm technically unemployed.
I should fly you out to do my yard work.
I probably, you know, I have no problem doing manual labor, and you know, you pay me money, I show up, yeah. I'll be there.
You'd
have
a problem doing it for me, because I'd be telling you what to do, and that wouldn't be fun.
Oh, but come on, Evan. You've been I'm telling kidding. Me what to do for 2.5 years, Michael. I think I've gotten used to it at this point.
yeah, okay. Well, it's already done. Maybe this fall. Ask me this fall.
All right. Okay. Yep. Well, I mean, I am going to be there at some point in the next couple of months. I am going to be driving all the way out to South Dakota. So I might have to swing down to Wyoming and just knock on your door and be like, hey, guess who's here?
Well, you'd have to tell me first because you wouldn't find my door.
Oh, of course. I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
I'd welcome
I wouldn't just
you
show up
night.
At your house.
Yeah, you could come by for a night and do some yard work. I'm kidding. You could come by for a night, spend the night, have dinner.
Yeah. We'll see what I can do, man. I know, man. We've been co-hosts together for 2.5 years. I knew you for like, you know, almost a year before that, just talking to you on the Face Beasts and stuff. Once I became a Fiend fan. And over 3 years we haven't met yet. So we gotta get that done one of these days.
Yeah. I always say that with Fiend fans, it's kinda like, oh, and that is not an open invitation for people to show up at my house. There's very few people I'd make that offer to. I just want to make that clear. Like someone who was recently like, yeah, I was 40 miles from your house recently. I almost came by. And I'm like, no.
Whoa.
No. Somebody actually wrote me on FaceBeast and was like, hey, you're in Wyoming? I'm in Wyoming. Can I come over? I'm not a Fed. They actually wrote that. And I blocked him. I'm like, dear Fed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even consider that possibility till I read you said, I'm not a Fed.
Yeah, I know. That always seems like a very very big red flag when people have to say that up front.
Yeah.
Like if I ask you if you're a Fed and you say that, all right, maybe. But yeah, if you just offer that information, that just seems a little sketchy.
Yep. So tell me about life on the road. You sell your house? You rich yet?
Yep. Yeah. Last time you and I talked when we did that double episode a couple of weeks ago, that was the last night in my house. And I have been on the road since then. And since it's Thursday now, it's been 2 full weeks that Murder Dog and I have been out here. And it's been interesting.
Why don't you stay at like a bed and breakfast or what's that thing where there's an app and people give you their house?
Oh, geez. Now I'm drawing a complete blank on that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Airbnb.
Airbnb, there you go.
Airbnb or a cheap hotel.
Well, because I'm trying to save as much money as possible from the sale of the house because the whole purpose of selling the house was to move my family and I out of New York finally and go to the Midwest, likely Indiana, and, you know, start our farm eventually. So in order to save as much money as possible, since the so-called wife, as I refer to her, and my kids have an apartment to stay in, which I am not allowed in because it's owned by her family and they don't like me very much. I knew they were safe, and I have some friends, one friend in particular, actually former Fiend, Shane Radliff, who does a podcast called the Vanu Podcast, which is all kind of about, you know, living out of your vehicle or living out of, you know, people could do converted vans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So after talking with him for a while, and realizing that, well, I own a Honda Element, which if you're not familiar with that vehicle, it's a rather boxy SUV.
Stop doxing yourself.
Everybody knows everything about me about this. At this point, Michael, yeah, I have no problem sharing.
There's probably pictures of you.
Absolutely.
Right now, somebody's probably taking pictures of you and putting them on some fireman's blog.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
But anyway, since I have a vehicle like that with, you know, which has got a decent amount of headroom and there's no carpeting, so it's designed to be, you know, used on off-roading and stuff like that, I figured, hey, I could try this out and try living out of the vehicle and attempt to save my family even more money. And while I'm at it, do some, you know, I record daily videos while I'm out here, and I've been trying to figure out ways to do podcasts too. And so hopefully I can bring in a little bit of a revenue stream that way. You know, posting it up on YouTube, I'm not getting any money. They demonetized my channel a long time ago, but I make a little bit of scratch on the Steam it, you know, from posting my vlogs.
Did they demonetize Silas's channel?
No, my channel, I think I still have an Abolitionist J channel, or a Narco Abolitionist channel. They didn't demonetize that. Well, they demonetized everybody earlier this year, unless you have a certain amount of, some insane amount of views and some insane amount of hours watched in a
That's
month.
What the
they
lady,
demonetized everybody.
The lady who shot up YouTube, that was her beef with them. It wasn't censorship in particular. It was just that, you know, she had 3/4 of that amount, you know, a pretty good amount, but not quite the threshold, and they demonetized her.
Yeah, that woman, unfortunately, she had a lot more views than me to begin with. But you know, yeah. she had passed the threshold, because they kept raising the threshold over the past couple of years, because our channels got demonetized a couple of times, and then they said, okay, no, now you can make money again. And there's like, oh, 3 months later, oh no, we're demonetizing you again. And then finally, I guess it was back in like April or May or whatever that it was shortly after that happened. That incident. They just pretty much said everybody, and it just wiped out, you know.
Well, her problem is that she never read my book, YouTube, An Insider's Guide to Climbing the Charts, or my book, which I co-wrote with a guy who was a rock star on YouTube, Alan Listovka, or my book, $30 Film School, or my book, A User's Manual for the Human Experience. There's several things that I think are so fundamental that I repeat in all those books. I think it's also in $30 Music School and $30 Writing School. Is that you don't put all your eggs in one basket, that you have multiple streams of income, what I call mailbox money. It used to be mailbox money. Now it's usually, you know, direct deposit or PayPal money. But, you know, you have a bunch of different things that instead of having one job, you decentralize it. You have a bunch of different jobs. So, you know, a bunch of different things you do that make a little bit of money that add up to a lot of money, or, you know, a paycheck. And that way, you know, if one of them demonetizes you, you don't lose everything.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a smart way to go about it. Sure.
It's kind of like the Boston Tea Party suggestion of, if you have enough money for a nice house, don't have a nice house, have two smaller nice houses in different states.
Yeah.
That'd be useful for me, even just, you know, when there's bad smoke, you know, when I can't breathe, just get in the car and go to the other house. Yep.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So, do you have any tips for news you can use for living in your car? Are you sleeping in your car?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
I have one of those car carriers on top of the vehicle where I have all my camping equipment, you know, my tent, my sleeping bag, all that stuff. But unfortunately, there are not very many places at all to camp here where I'm currently located in Nassau County. In fact, I think there's only two campsites, and they're both insanely expensive.
Oh, campgrounds the only where you two. Can, like, yeah. pay to park? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's two of them where I can actually pay and actually set up my tent and everything like that.
Yeah.
But the one place wanted $35 a night for a tiny little spot with no electric and no...
Man, that's what, like, Ben Stone was paying per week in the South to, like...
No, I know.
Gas hookup and water and electricity and internet and... Yeah.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, since that's pretty much the one main one here in Nassau County, it's like 45 minute drive without traffic into Manhattan, but it's the closest one to Manhattan. So RVers who come from all over the world and are all over the country and want to like visit Manhattan or stuff like that, it's the only place they can go. So of course they can raise the price to that level because it's for people like Ben, for RVers, it's $57 a night, just like a night. For those spots with the hookups and everything.
I mean, he wasn't paying 30 a week, but he was paying, you know, 70.
Oh, a heck of a lot less. Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
A week. Yeah.
Well, I just this morning. All right, I mentioned before we had a spot that we've been staying at for a while, and unfortunately, we got booted out the other night because security came and knocked on our window at 1:30 in the morning. I'm pretty sure somebody tipped them off because we had been staying there for a couple of weeks. I had seen security almost every night. Nobody bothered me because, like I said, I was staying at a local marina. Which is in a county park, and the park technically closes at dusk, but they leave it open because people go to their boats at all hours of the night. So you're allowed to go down to the marina as long as you have a boat. But I had parked there for nights. Like I said, I was quiet. I cleaned up after myself. I saw security almost every night. They never bothered me.
You need a bumper sticker about boating. They would leave you alone.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm pretty sure somebody tipped them off.
My other car is a boat. Get that.
There you go. I'll get that one.
And just say, you know, I was too drunk to drive my boat, so I slept in my car because I was getting seasick. No, I don't know.
Yeah, they wanted to know which boat was mine. I got away without getting a ticket or anything by telling them that I was supposed to be meeting friends there, because they're like, what are you doing here so late? And I'm like, my friends told me to come meet them to go out in their boat. I must have passed out in my car. I'm sorry, officer. And, you know, they ended up letting me go without a ticket, luckily, but. Now I can't really go back there because I'm pretty sure my car has been targeted. And I'm, like I said, I'm pretty sure somebody tipped them off, one of my haters, because it doesn't make any sense, because they gave me some story about permits, about how you have to have a permit for your car. And I know for a fact that all the other cars that have been parked down there every night I was there, none of them had a permit, because I looked just to see if I was missing something. And I just, you know, checked the outside. They had no permits. So I'm pretty sure somebody tipped them off.
You should check the bottom of your car for tracking device. Those are cheap. I wouldn't be surprised.
That's actually good. I should probably do that after we stop recording. But
yeah.
So we found a new place to go for now. And I actually this morning I actually ran into some old guy who's doing the same exact thing. He's living
scaring
out of the back
firemen.
Of a, yeah. No, he's living out of the back. He's living out of the back of his Jeep Cherokee and has been doing so for a couple of years. And he actually found me and parked a couple of spots down from me. And I woke up this morning and I went out to go relieve myself. And I see this vehicle and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. He's got all this stuff up top. It looks like, I wonder if he's possibly doing this type of thing. And sure enough, this old guy probably in his late 60s, early 70s, comes wandering out to me and goes, hey, is that your vehicle? And we ended up talking for a while. It was really nice. We exchanged numbers and we're probably going to hook up again. I'm hoping to get him on video and talk about some stuff because he's been doing this for years.
Cool.
So I stay in the vehicle for the most part because the way this car is designed, they actually designed it for camping and off-roading and stuff. You can actually, the front seats actually lay completely down. Like they can go, you can lean completely backwards.
What is it? I'm going to Google
like
it.
Flat. Honda Element. And, If you have the back seats in, which I don't because I need room for Murder Dog,
yeah.
You can actually lean the front seat all the way back, and it actually lines up perfectly with the back seat to create a little mini bed.
Kind of looks like a Jeep, sort of.
It's a boxy little SUV. Yeah. It's like I said, it's great for these purposes because I don't have to worry about getting dirty. There's no carpets in it.
It looks like a PT Cruiser that grew up.
Yeah, there you go. That's PT Cruiser on steroids, pretty much. A little more boxy. No, PT is a little
Cruiser
more round.
That's gone through puberty. Yeah.
So yeah, it's we stay in the car. I got all these little blackout shades that I picked up cheap on Amazon, and I stick them up on the windows every night. So we were not bothered by the light early in the morning. Unfortunately, I wake up ridiculously early every day just because I'm getting old and my bladder tells me to wake up when I don't want to.
Can't you just roll over and then go back to sleep?
I could, but I don't, I usually, once I wake up like that, I'm usually like, now I'm up. And,
you know the saying,
I start moving
right?
Around.
A rich man has a canopy over his bed. A poor man has a canopy under his bed. Sister, like I don't know if this is radio friendly or not, but we're talking about camping. You know, people go in bottles and cans and things. So,
sure.
My sisters are hippies and they're older than me. Let's see. I'm 54. The youngest one is 11 years older than me. So 65. And then the other one's probably 69 or 70. And they were hippies, back in the hippie days. And when I was probably, 10 or 11, I went to visit each of them different times. And my one sister was living in West Virginia with a hippie guy that, the bedroom had like 20 bottles in it. Let's put it that way, like sealed bottles.
Oh, wow.
Like, he either didn't bother to take them out or, it was like some protest against the man. I don't know what it was. And then
the central scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
The other one, my other sister was living in a van with her boyfriend in New Hampshire. People always say to me, like, you should come to New Hampshire, Michael. It's cool. Like all these, pork fest people that live there. And I'm like, man, I've been going to New Hampshire since before you're born. Like I used to go there in summer. When I was like 13, I ran away from home and hitchhiked from Buffalo to New Hampshire to my sister's house.
Wow.
So I spent a lot of time up there and I really liked it a lot. But yeah, they went in jars in the van, and interesting thing though about the other sister, the one that lived in the like rundown house in West Virginia with a hippie who had many jars in the place, the guy turned out to be a millionaire and I don't think she even knew that. He was like total dirt hippie, and then they got married. I guess she found out by the time they got married because she gave he gave her a rock the size of an almond, you know, a ring that was giant diamond ring. And this is the first time I went to New York City. I was like nine. The wedding was on the penthouse of an uptown Manhattan building that his father owned. And it turned out there might have been some connection to some Sicilian people in Long Island or New Jersey. I don't know. I'm not going to go there. But yeah. They got divorced, and she gave him back the ring, which I thought was pretty classy. You know.
Yeah, that is. I know. Yeah. I know plenty of women that would hold on to that.
Yeah. Although, you know, maybe that's something to do with the fact that his family knew Sicilian people in New Jersey and did business with them. I don't know.
Well, that is a possibility. There are quite a few of those.
I don't think so. I think she just wanted a clean break, you know?
Well, that's admirable as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it is. For a hippie, too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like 5 years. You know, a hippie could pawn that and live for 5 years out of a van, or 10 years, 20 years. Yep.
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And my sister got arrested with her boyfriend camping in that van in some, for drugs. When I was 11, in some like state park in upstate New York somewhere, and they had the pots, they had the marijuanas, and they had the funny mushrooms, and that was the beginning of me hating the war on drugs, you know, because it messed up my sister's life. So, yeah,
well, that's a very good reason for it.
Yep, she wasn't hurting anybody. She was a good person. I knew she was a good person. And didn't do anything that deserved to be in jail, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't learn that lesson until later in life, but yeah.
Yeah.
Just leave people alone to do what they want to do, man. Not harming anybody.
I know. Yeah.
It's funny. The guy I ran into this morning, I don't think he... nice guy. Definitely had some information to share with me. A little loopy. I don't think he really understood when I mentioned the term anarchist to him. But he seems to be very, very anti-government. And he had two friends that showed up that apparently he knows from the area who are legitimately homeless. And we sat down in the parking lot that we're in and had a wonderful conversation this morning about all this stuff, about how people just want to be left alone. And I think that notion is spreading more and more people just really want to be left the hell alone and are like, government, go away.
The problem is then for some reason they get duped into this. But I have to vote because, you know, the worst of two evils and blah, blah, you know.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I mean, I'm not that big on you must not vote. I mean, I know people, I don't vote, but I know people that, like, won't be friends with someone that votes. I'll be friends with someone that votes because how are they ever going to get to where they're going if they don't have friends like me? But the other thing is, I mean, you're not going to collapse the state by getting people to not vote, because they're not going to not elect people. You know, if one person shows up and votes, that's going to be it. So, and they'll send one person.
that's interesting, because I actually had a conversation about that very thing the other night. I traveled upstate for a couple of days because the wife and kids were out of town visiting family in North Carolina. So Murder Dog and I were like literally on our own up here. And after I took care of some work I had to take care of last weekend, I headed upstate to a buddy's house who offered me to stay up there. And the first night I was there, I ended up getting into a conversation with his wife, who, you know, my buddy's an anarchist, and his wife is largely anti-government, but she's one of those people that you're describing who still thinks, like, despite everything else, there still has to be something. There still has to be some order.
And when you say anarchist, you're not talking about those horrible Antifa types.
Explain oh no, not the Molotov.
The cheap speeds.
Sorry. I do apologize. Yeah. When I use the term anarchist, I refer to the direct etymology of the word, which literally translates, you know, the Greek etymology is literally anarchy, which means no rulers, which just means, you know, you don't want people ruling over you, but it doesn't mean, you know, you live and just, you know, do whatever you want, no matter how you hurt, you know, if you hurt people or not. No, this is more of a peaceful thing.
One of the founding fathers was pretty close to an anarchist, Sam Adams, who was very different from John Adams, his relative.
Oh, he was extremely
statist.
Different. Yeah, yeah. Samuel
Adams. Theory.
Was...
Have you heard the theory? Okay, so they teach you in. We'll come back to your thing, but an aside. Have you heard about the thing? Wow, what's that noise?
Sorry, garbage truck passing by.
Are they sawing into there to pull you out with the jaws of life?
No.
That's a fireman joke. But Yeah, so they teach you in government school that the American Revolution, you know, they said don't fire until fired upon, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. Every school kid was taught that. I don't know if they still are, but I was taught that. Were you taught that?
I think so, yeah. It's been so long, I don't remember.
There's an alternate history, not alternate history like fiction, but like alternate, maybe it's possibly true thing about that was that it's maybe the first shot wasn't from the British, and that the first shot was a sniper shot taken by Sam Adams, who was on the second floor of a nearby hotel.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Yeah, it's
that'll be interesting.
If you take Appleseed rifleman classes, they teach that in there as maybe true.
See, I never got around. I meant to sign up for one of those years ago. I never got around to it, so that's probably why I missed that story.
Yeah,
but that's interesting. I'd love to delve. I mean, I'd love to dig further into that myself because I mean, as I've discussed before on this show, unlike a lot of my friends who came to this whole idea, you know, the ideas of freedom and you know, just being left alone through like the study of economics and stuff. The study of history is what brought me here. So I'm very interested in that. So I'd love to look that up because Sam Adams is I'm one of the few founders I'm a fan of. Another one who is actually, another one who is probably actually today he would almost definitely be an anarchist, anarchist or anti-government at least would be Patrick Henry. The whole give me liberty, give me death guys. He was very adamant. I mean, a lot of people don't know that. Most people just know that one quote from him. But he was one of the most adamant anti-federalists back then. And him and his friends were the ones screaming at the top of their lungs as loud as they could. Don't do this Constitution thing. It's no. It's going to end badly. And the Anti-Federalist Papers. Most people don't even know those exist. Most people have heard of the Federalist Papers, which were written by James Madison and Thomas Jay and Alexander Hamilton. But the Anti-Federalist Papers actually go point for point, and they attack every one of the Federalist Papers, and they shred them.
They're written anonymously too, right?
Brutus, Cicero, like stuff like that.
Yeah,
they were hiding their identity because they had to.
And you know, it's funny too, because there are people that worship all the founding fathers in mass without knowing that some were good and some were evil and some were so-so. Like Madison and Jefferson were probably so-so. John Adams and Hamilton were evil
or horrible. Horrible.
Samuel
guys.
Adams and Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death. What's his name?
Patrick Henry.
Yeah, we're good guys. You know, there's people that don't understand much about that other than the hagiography of the state, the celebration of saints that you hear on Fox News and on the 4th of July and on Tea Party groups after the Tea Party got wrested away from Ron Paul, of things like, you know, the founding fathers are great. We should venerate them. And then those are the same people saying, like, you know, people shouldn't be able to hide their identity on the internet. If you got nothing to hide, show yourself, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a big disconnect there with a lot of people who don't understand that privacy is important, man. I want to talk about that a little bit. Oh, but you were telling a story. Let's do your story because I don't want to do the thing that I did last time. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can finish that up quickly. Yeah, well, like I was saying, basically, I ran into another guy this morning who's doing this, and, we had a great chat about it, and it's interesting. Like I said, I keep finding more and more people who seem to be, they're becoming more and more anti-government, and not even, like, you know, not in a violent way or anything, just they really just want to be left alone, and there's more and more people are coming to the realization, especially, like I said, through this experience. I've been talking to people all over the country who are in their vehicles, whether they're taking a big van and converting it, or some people do the school bus thing, or just doing it straight out of their vehicle like I do. More and more people are doing it because they don't want to deal with the BS taxes and just the government regulations and just being harassed over everything. And it's like, well, if I go out in my vehicle, I mean, yeah, sure, you still have to, you know, you have to have your papers, you know, your license, your registration, all that stuff. But not only are you saving money, but you're kind of more out of the reach of government that way because they can't, you know, they don't have as much to bother you about.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just kind of, it's a lot more freeing, you know. I've said that before, that as crazy this whole experience has been, and I've had my ups and downs already in the past couple of weeks, but it has been incredibly freeing to not be tied down to a place.
Although you probably have more protection from harassment in an RV than you do sleeping in the back of a car, because an RV is recognized as a domicile and I'm not sure on this, but I think you have more rights in an RV, especially if you're camping somewhere, like paying to camp somewhere, but even in general, because it's recognized as having similar rights to the home. You know, it is the home. And that doesn't mean police won't hassle you no matter what, anywhere. But there's actually a kind of funny extrapolation of that in the movie Breaking Bad, in the show Breaking Bad. Do you remember the scene in... Did you see it all?
Yes. Yes, I finally did after all.
Good. What'd you think?
Oh, I said it after I finally finished watching it. I'm like, all right, you guys were all right. I was an idiot for not watching it before this because it is probably... It's definitely one of the greatest TV shows ever, if not the greatest one ever.
Do you remember the scene in the junkyard where Jesse is in the RV and Hank comes up and wants to search it because he says that he thinks it's a rolling drug lab, and the old, weird, hippie, long-haired owner of the junkyard starts doing some jailhouse lawyering at Hank and basically says, it's a domicile, you don't have a right to entry, there could be someone in there right now, you need a warrant, I'm not letting you in, this is my property, you know?
yeah, I remember that one.
And then they do the spoiler alert, and then they do, you know, the Hail Mary pass they do is calling their attorney, who's not a criminal attorney, he's an attorney criminal, basically. Or what is it? He's not, we don't need a criminal lawyer, we need a criminal lawyer who gets his, gets his paralegal to call up and pretend to be a state trooper and tell Hank his wife's like hanging from a thread after a car accident in the hospital. Yeah. Yep. And then hangs up and says, you need to pay me more. And he destroys the phone. Yeah. My wife just cringes when she sees that because she's a paralegal and takes the law very seriously. And just, like, she hates that scene, but I think it's funny.
Yeah. It is funny.
Yeah.
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 But, no, but like you're saying, I mean, yeah, you are right. Actually, you definitely, as far as rights go, the look at it is you definitely have more rights if you have an RV or something like that. But, you know, doing the car thing has some advantages too, because there's a lot of places you can park the car where you can't park an RV.
Right, right. Like you anywhere, know, like everywhere.
Yeah, well, like, you know, like I can park on a lot of the streets around here. It's just a matter of finding someplace.
If they see
someplace.
You in there, they'll roust you.
Well, it depends. You know, like usually if you park in a relatively quiet neighborhood, as long as you're not parking directly in front of people's houses, like if you find the short side of a block where it's just like the side of the houses and they have a big fence, if you just park there, even if the cops patrol by, they tend not to like bother you because it just looks like you're somebody who's from one of those houses.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with RVs and stuff like that. They actually have signs up everywhere. You can't park those things overnight. You know, I was past the place actually where I planned on staying last night until I unfortunately had to move at the last minute because I had taken my kids out to dinner last night so we could hang out for a little while. And one of my daughters brought one of her stuffed animals and apparently forgot it there. So I got a panic stricken phone call from the wife at 10 o'clock going, oh, my God, do you know where Pink Cat is? And I had to go back up to the restaurant to go retrieve the cat for my child. So I ended up parking somewhere else. But where I had originally planned on staying was a strip on a main road. But it specifically says you can't park trailers, campers, or buses there overnight. It doesn't say anything about cars. So you can park your car there all night. And, you know, for the most part, again, usually if you're not making noise and you're not like in and out of the car constantly, and you don't leave a mess behind, they largely won't bother you unless you're somebody like me who's been targeted for a lot of things. But in general, they tend not to bother you.
I have a suggestion for a great money-making enterprise that would also spread liberty. It would take someone who, I don't think this is going to get founded out of like someone's house, unless it's an app. This might work as an app, but I'm bearing the lead. Basically, a libertarian AARP. Because, you know, the AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons, has a lot of advantages, and a lot of people, you know, of retirement age join it. I don't know what retirement age is for. I'm starting to get letters from them, but and I'm 54. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of a voting – it's a voting block too. Like it's a lobbying block, and they tend to lobby for really – leftist things. Like they kind of been taken over by the commies. But you know, if you could start an organization that could provide similar services like driving insurance, camping insurance, access to better doctors, you know, cheap life insurance, all the things that are useful to older people, cheaper health insurance, access to like Medicare, you know, cards that help services that help Medicare people vote in block, buy in block and get discounts, things like that. Discounts on hotels. If you could do something like that, but, you know, not have a lefty bent and have like, you know, the senior citizen rifleman class and things like that, which, you know, I mean, any senior citizen could go to an Appleseed anyway. I mean, a lot of them are taught by people who are probably in their 60s. But, you know, one that's specifically for older people, so they don't feel put off by the youngsters there, you know. So I don't feel put off, you know, when I went to one at 44 by, you know, a 15-year-old kid out shooting me, sitting a 13-year-old kid, an 11-year-old girl out shooting me. Okay, I'll just say it. But, yeah. But these are kids that are, like, you know, raised by, you know, constitution-loving.
Yeah, they've had a gun in their hand since they could hold it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a gun in my hand at 9, you know, my dad had a 22, but, you know, it wasn't like a part of life. Like, son, let me tell you why riflemanship is important. You know, it was like, oh, let's go shoot tin cans, you know, in the backyard, yeah. Which you could do back then.
Yeah. Or almost shoot your dog like I did when I was handed a gun for the first time.
No.
I think I told that story on a show recently. Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
Because like you, like guns were in my family. Like my grandfather was a hunter and stuff, and my dad and my uncles and my aunt grew up like that. But it wasn't like it was the same thing. Like they're around, but it wasn't like they didn't teach my dad and stuff. I mean, my dad obviously was in the military, so that's how he learned to shoot. But they didn't. It wasn't like a common thing. So, you know, when I grew up, same thing. Like it wasn't like, you know, my family wasn't against guns or anything, but we just didn't have them around. And then when my grandfather decided that he was retiring from hunting and he wanted to give out his guns to his, you know, to his sons and his grandchildren and all that stuff, he came around to all of us and he came down to visit us when we were living in PA, and he brought a bunch of his rifles with him and stuff. And I was somewhere between 8 and 10 at the time, and I'd never held a gun before. And, you know, I was obviously very interested in it. And of course, my grandfather was like, oh, sure, we'll take you out back and we'll show you how to do it. And they handed me a 22. And basically, unfortunately, like, it wasn't like they were horrible with gun safety, but I really don't think my grandfather and my dad were really thinking at the time. They just kind of handed it to me and just said, okay, now you point it in this direction, you do this, and you pull the trigger. So here I am, 8 to 10 years old, and I try to do it, and they had me aiming at a tree, but I was a little unsteady, and unfortunately my dog at the time was sleeping somewhere near the tree, and I scared the ever-living you-know-what out of the poor dog because I shot, and I hit the tree. I didn't hit the dog, like it was something that today I wouldn't even take that shot today just because the dog was in the neighborhood. Like I wouldn't even attempt that shot, but yeah.
There's a lot of idiots who don't know gun. People shouldn't hand people guns until they teach them gun safety, and I generally teach people gun safety with a squirt gun. Literally, you know?
Yeah, no, that's not a bad idea.
I mean, some people buy the, like, fake blue guns that, you know, are more weighted like a gun or whatever, but those are, like, $50. I mean, I actually use a pellet gun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a much better idea.
That's not loaded. I guess you could get an eye out. No, but, like the pellet guns you cock, not the ones with compressed air, the ones you cock once, you probably couldn't even put an eye out. But, you know, they're just basically for teaching people how to not point it in people's face and things like that.
You may not be able to put an eye out. I do know that you can get it embedded in your skin and you'll have it for the rest of your life. My uncle had that happen when he was younger.
I don't think you can with what I'm talking about. If you're talking about like a Daisy pump action BB gun where you pump it many times and it uses metal BBs, I'm talking about the things you buy at Walmart for like $12.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it was
pellets. And they come with like a sticky target, and they don't really even shoot straight past like 10 feet. And
those probably wouldn't. You're right.
I got some of those when I first moved to Wyoming, so I could practice shooting in the winter. You know, when like our car couldn't make it out to the shooting range. Yeah,
sure.
Which is off road. So, but I don't use it for that anymore. I just use it when I'm training someone how to use gun safety. I take that out and let them hold that and teach them to keep their hand, their finger off the trigger, et cetera. Teach them the rules of gun safety. And, you know, they say there's 4 rules of gun safety. I really think there's 5. The 4 rules of gun safety are, what is it? Keep your finger off your trigger until you're ready to shoot. be aware of your target, what's behind it, what's beyond it. Never shoot at anything you're not willing to destroy. Consider every gun loaded. I think the fifth one is keep your gun out of the hands of people that shouldn't have it.
Yeah, I saw you post that the other day, and that's actually, I agree with that. I think that's a very good one. And I'm sure that would surprise some people who think, you know, who would hear, you know, people like you and me talking about this stuff and think, oh, they're just gun nuts. But, well, wait a minute, they're responsible? Well, wait a minute, they don't think everybody should be able to touch it?
Well, I actually think that some people who are gun nuts would think that that's like gun grabber language, but it's not.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
kids all the time, like, I read about that once a year, you know, so at least some kid gets dad's gun and points it at another kid and shoots it, you know, because he thinks it's a toy, or he doesn't really understand the consequences. Because it's, I mean, there've been cases of, like, you know, babies or toddlers shooting babies, you know, and it's like,
well, there was a story, was it earlier this year or maybe late last year, where a toddler actually shot her mom,
who was a gun person,
like a gun rights person, and it was actually like a, you know, not super well known, but like
the left,
you know,
had
made a name for herself, and her toddler got a hold of it, ended up shooting her.
The left love misery. The left love to dance on the graves of children. You know,
yeah, that they do, unfortunately.
Hey, speaking of being out, let me shift gears here. Speaking of being out.
Sure.
In the car, have you had a chance yet to utilize cell 411 while you're living in your car?
I haven't actually needed it yet, but I have it always at the ready.
Do you want to explain it, what it is?
Sure. Oh, cell 411, yes. Cell 411 is a great app which allows you to create... it's free. It's a free app. That is true. That allows you to create public or private cells, which basically means you can connect with, you know, friends, relatives, neighbors, you know, people in your community, and reach out to them in case of emergency for things like, you know, if your car breaks down, or, you know, you have a medical emergency, or you're being harassed by a gang of thugs or the cops. But then I repeat myself. You could, with the touch of a button, you can reach out to these people and let them know what's going on. You know, if you need help, it's basically, I mean, from what I recall, I mean, I remember the sales pitch originally when this was created. It's kind of like to make you less reliant on the government monopolized services. Because even in places like here, where I'm currently staying, which is heavily populated.
Long Island.
Which, by the way, I actually ran into a woman at the dog park the other day who I haven't heard that. Like, you hear the accent, but I've tuned it out for so long. Like, I heard it so thick in this woman the other day. Like, I turned my head. I was like, oh my God, that was horrible. But yeah, even in a densely populated space like this, where they have everybody on top of each other and they have the monopolized services everywhere, response times are crappy.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can, you know, you have a fire. I mean, actually, that's not true. The volunteer fire department was great, but all the government monopolized services, you know, the cops can still take, like, you know, 10, 15 minutes to get to your house in a case of emergency. Well, why not just call a neighbor who's like up the block and can help you out?
Yeah. Families of police do when they, instead of calling 911, they call their family member who's a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And you know what really rich people do instead of calling 911?
They have private security.
Private security. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So this is a way to kind of get some kind of private security for the poor people like us.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do all that stuff with the touch of a button. If you need to, it has a function that you can record video. Again, if you're being harassed or something's going on and you need to document the situation, that video gets sent off to those people right away. And it also gets stored on the cell 411 servers. So in case somebody tries to take your phone away from you or break it, or, you know, something happens to it,
whether it's the police doing something they shouldn't, or whether it's, you know, Antifa or some other criminal doing something.
Yeah. Or, you know, somebody who's out there claiming that, you know, you're not allowed to record me, even though they're in a public space. And, you know, as much as I have a disregard for most laws, that's one of those things that, hey, man, you're on public property and, you know, you're a public person right now. So, yeah, I'm allowed to record you. So any of those situations, in case something happens, the video gets stored there so that you can retrieve it later, and you'll still have that documentation of the event. I'm a huge fan of the app. I keep it at the ready at all times.
I'm posting on the Cell 411 users group right now on
that we're talking about it right
Facebook.
Now.
No, that Cell 411 offers private security for po folks. I'm going to quote you and I.
Let's see if we can get the big man to take that up as a slogan.
That's what I'm doing.
I'm gonna tag him.
I'm gonna tag Virgil.
But yeah, so like I said, great app. Definitely, if you don't have it, I highly suggest people get it. You can get it on the Google Play Store. You know, the Google Play Store. You can get it on the Apple Store, whatever they call that silly thing for the beautiful
iTunes
people.
iTunes Store. For some reason, you buy apps on the, you get free apps and buy apps on the iTunes Store.
Yes.
I think. I don't know. I'm not one of the beautiful people.
I am not either. That's why I struggle when I talk about these
people,
things. I've never been an Apple person.
Oh, let's not scare off an eighth of our target audience here. I'm not going to say anything bad about it. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, great app. You can get it. You know, like I said, all those places, or you can just go to getcell411.com and download it and make use of it and start making some friends and creating some cells and just in case. Like I said, I haven't had to use it yet, but I definitely, you know, like I drove down from upstate a couple days ago where I was staying up near Cooperstown with a buddy of mine. And the road pirates, as I refer to them,
police,
were out in full force. Apparently, must have been that quota time that they always claim doesn't exist, because they were everywhere, all over the New York State Thruway. And I actually made a post about it when I stopped at a rest stop really quick, just warning everybody, hey, if you're up in this neighborhood, just be prepared. And I put the hashtags. Cell 411 was one of the hashtags I put up there. Also the Waze app, I'm a big fan of. But yeah. I put that up there because if I need it, I was definitely going to use it. I mean, I have it at the ready now that all I do is if something happens, I just hit that button and I start recording. And just make sure that at least other people know what's going on with me.
Yeah.
Great app. Definitely everybody should have it.
Yep. Yep. I have it. My wife has it. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. Getcell411.com. Go there now, people.
Yeah.
Any hoodle. So
what else? What else going on?
Well, I don't know. You said something about wanting to talk about privacy before, but
privacy's good. I just think that it's. I guess I want to say this to anybody who thinks that especially anyone who's conservative or libertarian leaning conservative, which is a lot of our listeners on talk radio, who believes that if you got nothing to hide, you shouldn't care if the government listens in on your phone calls and your emails. I think that's wrong. Why do you think that's wrong? Other than that, the good founding fathers would think that's wrong if they knew what, I mean, it says in the Bill of Rights that, you should be secure in your person and papers. And there are actually people, usually leftists, who argue that, well, that amendment doesn't apply anymore because it's not papers, it's internet. Any reasonable reading of the mood, the what is it, the nut of that law, like the thing behind that law, the feeling of that law, like what was intended by that law, the intent of that law, any reasonable in reading of the intent of that law is that it would include electronic communication, even though it was written before electronic communication, in the same way that freedom of the press was written when presses were, run by hand and you needed strong men to press a single paper. They still apply now that the internet is the press. Your paper, to be secure in your papers, includes your encrypted phone calls over a little computer phone in your pocket. They also include anything you put on the internet. I think that if you really believe that those things were put down in paper for a reason, they don't change over time. I also think that they are, whether they are put down in paper, I think they're natural innate rights. But then that gets into the whole question of, are there innate rights or is there only what you can defend, what you can keep? I kind of think the latter. I kind of think an animal has the right not to be eaten by another animal, but the only way he can keep that right is by having, either being able to camouflage and hide so well, or having spikes or teeth or claws, and more with governments, if you flex your claws at them, they destroy you. They bug splat you from a drone or throw you in prison forever and laugh at you while you're raped. They hope you're raped. I mean, people do, like status are like, oh, you're going to prison for speaking your mind. Don't drop the soap.
Oh, which, I know that all too well. That got thrown at me multiple times after what happened to me last year. And and people think it's funny, which is just sick and twisted as far as I'm concerned. But
anybody who'd say that is either just parroting something they're not really thinking about the ramifications of, or they're a sociopath. And
hashtag why not both?
Yeah, why not
both? No, but you're right. That absolutely, it's usually one or the other or both. Because it's one of those lines that gets thrown out, and you're right. Most people just repeat it, don't think about it. But of course, if they were in the situation, you know, if they had committed some victimless crime, and then people were throwing that epithet at them, they would freak out.
Yeah,
those very same people. But oh my God, how could you possibly say this?
Or a family member, you know?
Well, unfortunately, most people don't come to these type of realizations until it actually affects them. Which is why I like to hang with the type of people that I do these days, you know, my and fam, as I refer to them, because most people like that, we don't think like that. We don't wait for it to affect us. We recognize that this type of thing, if it can affect us, it can affect just about anybody. And, you know, freedom is not just about, you know, the freedom for you to be able to do things. If you want to be free, you kind of have to allow that same freedom in other people too.
Yeah.
And that type of thinking that these people put out there is the antithesis of that. It's all about, you know, just you should be punished because you violated some arbitrary edict, no matter how ridiculous it is. You should not only should you be punished, but you should be physically harmed because of it.
Well, first of all, there's a book called Three Felonies a Day, and the premise of that book is that everyone commits on average three felonies a day, whether they realize or not, including people who believe they are absolutely law-abiding. I would never break the law. I pay my taxes. I vote. You know, that crowd. They're probably breaking laws. I mean, even as common as like...
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar. And their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agoristhosting.com.
There's laws that are crazy, like, you know, let's say a spouse has a prescription medication. I'm not talking
so funny you went there.
Or something that gets you high, but just like your spouse has their diabetes medication and they leave it in a room that's like your office or something, like that's, you're committing a crime by having that in your office, because that's somebody else putting a prescription, it's you allowing someone to have a federally controlled prescription medication in an area that you have access to, you know, like things that ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's funny you went to that example, because that's the first one that always comes to my mind, is because I actually tried to point this out years ago to my wife's family before things went horribly wrong between all of us. You know, the fact when they, you know, because there's a lot of cops in that family, and they obviously did not like my attitude towards cops and the law to begin with. But I tried to explain that to him. It's like, you do realize, you know, for example, like, you know, my wife's father, who is former cop. I'm like, you realize that you share your prescription medication with my wife, with your daughter, you know, that's illegal, right? And he just looked at me dumbfounded. I'm like, yeah, you're breaking the law by doing that. You're not.
Was he,
you know,
dumbfounded because he didn't know that was illegal, or was he dumbfounded because he's like, I'm a good person, so I don't have to look at that law.
I think it was a bit of both. A pain medication, unfortunately, because probably Oxy or something. He's on it for something. My wife, who I've talked about before, she has rheumatoid arthritis, and unfortunately, it can be debilitating at times. So she's been on prescription drugs
since I've known her. Drugs?
Well, there'd be times where she would run out and wouldn't be like there with stupid stuff with the insurance. Yeah. So anyway.
So he took her medication?
Yeah, if there was a time where like he couldn't get his in time and stuff, and he needed an extra one or whatever, it's like, you know, without even you know, he would take it. And it's like, you know, that's against, you know, even if she had handed it to him, which wasn't the case, but even if she had, technically that's still against the law, because like you were saying with the whole prescription thing, it's like people don't realize that little things like that. Yeah, you are according to the government.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
committing a crime. That's the thing a cop would buzz somebody for. Like, you know, if somebody had one oxycodone in their car and he searched him, he'd get all like, he'd get wet and juicy. He'd be like, ooh, yep, you're going to jail. Don't drop the soap. A lot of cops would be like that, you know, and wouldn't give them any levity, whereas they not only would give levity to a family member, but would steal it, basically. You know, and I mean, even if it's not like a Schedule 1, Schedule 2 or whatever controlled substance like that, like every prescription, I mean, if it's prescription vitamin C, you know, that comes from the pharmacy, this it's illegal to share it. Things yep. that little, you know. You know, there's a exactly. name for that, too, for the, like, yeah, don't drop the soap, man. I've heard some libertarian call that horizontal enforcement, you know, basically where
yes.
The slaves beat each other up for the slave owner, you know.
Oh, yeah. I use that term all the time. It's because that's how governments always survive and thrive. If it wasn't for the horizontal enforcement of people like ratting each other out for the most ridiculous things.
Yeah.
No government, pretty much, you know, again, I've studied history a lot, and I don't think any government throughout history would have ever been able to be anywhere near as quote unquote successful as they had been if it hadn't been for the people just capitulating and then ratting each other out, because there's never enough of the enforcement class. You know, you like take, for example, here in the United States. I think the latest numbers I ran when I was looking into this a couple of years ago, I think it's something like the citizenry outnumbers the enforcement class by 300-1 in the country.
Sounds about right.
And so there's something like, I think there's like 1.1 million cops or something like that, allegedly, like, you know, monopolized cops, not private security. But you know, and then you add all in the other stuff. Yeah, it's somewhere around the number of like 300-1 or something like that. They would never be able to do, like, they wouldn't be able to stop anybody from doing just about anything if it wasn't for people being so, either they're so scared that something bad's going to happen to them that they just, you know, they don't do anything, or they just turn around and rat their neighbor out because they're like, oh, I don't want to get in trouble for this. Or even worse, they're the type of people we're discussing who are just like, oh yeah, you deserve to be punished because you broke that law.
Yeah. So square.
So yeah. Without the horizontal enforcement, the most governments would crash and burn.
Yeah, Ben Stone talked about this a lot with the difference between the government and the state. Do you want to sum that up at all?
Sure. I'm trying to draw on what I remember from Ben, but my interpretation of it is I sometimes use the terms interchangeably, but I try not to, because in my estimation, the government is the group of people and buildings and all the, you know, whatever.
The
laws that call themselves,
the jails,
you know, refer to themselves as government, or people, other people call them government. Like, that's the government. The state, as far as I'm concerned, is an idea. It's a,
It's the horizontal enforcement.
Yeah, it's the belief in authority without consent. That's how I put it. And that's where statism comes from. That's where the belief in that,
and
you
the
know,
state
that we need,
never shuts
we
down.
We must have government.
The government could shut down and there's still the state. Actually, the government could collapse and there'd be another state tomorrow. I mean, there'd be another government tomorrow because there'd be another state.
Well, yeah, because the mindset has to be changed, because it's all in the head. So yeah, without, you're right, unfortunately,
that's
which is why
we're doing God's work here. We're trying to, like, one person at a time, convince people that, you know, authority with what was the term you used? I like that.
Authority without consent.
Yeah. Yeah. Authority without consent is bad.
Yes.
And, you know, we're not saying there should be no rules. We're not saying people should be allowed to murder. We're, you know, in a stateless society, people would not be able to get away with murder, rape, theft, fraud, aggression, you know, but you'd certainly be able to shoot somebody that's trying to aggress on you.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about a person who's a good libertarian laughing and having Schadenfreude when the state destroys somebody who deserves it?
That's always one of those tough things for me, honestly.
Because I thought that was funny a few times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, even not actually destroying them, but trying to destroy them, like, you know, the recent swatting thing. I heard you talking about that on the shows you did last week.
Yeah.
About the whole David Hogg thing, that kid.
The gun grabber getting swatted.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't know. Part of me, yes, wants to see people like them not necessarily suffer, but at least maybe gain some recognition of what they're actually trying to force on other people when it happens to them. Because like we were talking about before, most people don't recognize what's really wrong until it happens to them. So part of me, of course, is like, oh, yeah, that's great. You know, well, that you get what you deserve. But the other hand is, I don't want this, you know, I don't want the state doing that to anybody. You know, like, unless they're really, you know, if they've committed a violent act and they're actually hurting people and that's the only option because of the monopolized services.
No, I mean, you know, someone who, like, someone who gets schadenfreude on horizontal enforcement, you know, someone who laughs at victimless crimes being punished.
Oh, yeah, that's a no-no as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, I wasn't even thinking of David Hogg, but that would definitely fit him. I mean, that guy... He's the new kind of gun grabber. He's not the kind that says, now I think there should be sensible gun laws. He says, I think the Second Amendment should be repealed and only the government should have guns. But, you know, what does that result in? A swatting, you know, cops kicking in your door with guns in your hand.
Even though he wasn't there at the time, he didn't seem all too thrilled when he found out that the government showed up with guns to his house.
I didn't see his reaction. What was it?
I read something about it, and he was like, he was not happy. And, you know, but of course he tried to couch it because he seems to be, you know, based on everything I've learned about this kid, he seems to be either well coached or he's learned, you know, he's been doing this type of stuff for a while. So he's a lot more well spoken than some of the other kids.
Well, he was doing activism before this too.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like he has some experience in this, so he's not just some kid who literally just got pulled into this.
Plus,
and is
probably
like just flying by the seat of his pants. Yeah,
I mean, he's had some big slips. Like he said, either he's a liar or he horribly misspoke. There's a CNN put up like a whole like 2 hours of interviewing those three kids without editing it. Like, you know. They edited it for TV, but then on YouTube they put up the whole hour and 45 minutes or whatever. Have you seen that?
No, I never got around to seeing that.
Well, in it he says, I heard about this tragedy and I grabbed my camera and I got on my bicycle and I rode to the school as fast as I could.
Yeah, no, I had heard that.
Like that he wasn't there. He was home. He also was not a student at that school. He's like 19 and graduated last year.
Yeah, that I had heard too.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of things with him flying around because apparently, like, the year before he was out in California involved in something too.
Well,
he just happened to be there.
That was like false news. I mean, that was he was on vacation in California. His family is very wealthy. The real kind of interesting, nothing wrong with being wealthy, but the interesting kind of takeaway for me of the news showing the squatting of his house was the size of his parents' house. You know,
it was rather nice.
Yeah, I think that guy could probably call private security pretty quick. I'd be amazed if he can't. So, you know, he thinks he should be protected by guns, but you should not. But there was film footage of him on like KTLA or something, of him on a beach in LA somewhere complaining about litter or something. I don't know what it was, but. And then some troll false news people, fake news people, took that and posted it without audio. Maybe it was just a screenshot of it and said that he's a crisis actor because here's him in L.A. during this other gun trauma last year. And it's not him at a gun trauma. It's him complaining about litter or noise on the beach or some nanny thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I never bought the crisis actor thing because I usually largely ignore that. I figured... Because a lot of people said, oh, he couldn't, you know, because he was out there, even people who weren't talking about the crisis actor stuff kept saying, well, because he was out there, he must be a student out there. How could he possibly be in Florida? And I was just like, no, he's on vacation. I recognize that much. I just meant by the fact because he'd been videoed like that before. So that's what I meant when he has experience. But that, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's a litter thing, then it changes the story completely.
He had activism experience. I mean, he was involved in various activism things in school. And I mean, he's on TV complaining about litter on the beach. He wants to. Yeah. But no, the thing with CNN.
He wants to shape the world in his image.
Yeah, he does. But the CNN thing, I mean, this isn't fake news. This isn't something, some conspiracy channel.
Well, listen, I do believe the current resident of the awful office would disagree with you about that, because, you know, okay, it's CNN. It was just a joke.
Put it this way, it wasn't fringe news. It was mainstream.
No, it was a legit story.
They took it down. It's not up anymore. But I saw it, and it was the CNN main channel, and it was a really, I mean, I saw about some conspiracy, like, you know, go to 1 minute, 42 seconds, you know, 1 hour, 42 minutes, 12 seconds and watch it. And I did. And I watched a bunch before that, too. And in context, it wasn't any different out of context. It was like he said, as soon as I heard about this tragedy, I grabbed my camera, got on my bike and rode to the school, you know.
Yeah.
And they didn't use that, obviously, but he wasn't there, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know.
We got to wrap it up here, man. But you got any redemption in the third act for people that want to grow up and follow in your footsteps and live in their car down by the river in a van?
Well, honestly, man, I said this the other day when I was talking to some friends of mine. Actually, my buddies that I do the Seeds of Liberty podcast with, I was talking in a chat with them. And, you know, because they were asking me how things were going. And I will say this. I mean, granted, it's only been a couple of weeks and I've run into a lot of hiccups and stuff. But, you know, as I was referring to earlier about the, you know, the feeling more free, even though, you know, I still have to deal with the BS laws. I would highly encourage anyone out there, if you have the opportunity or you can find the opportunity to do so, to give this a try.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you have money and you want to spend more money and you want to get the RV or whatever,
I've done
or,
it.
You know,
it gets tired real quick. I was homeless in DC.
I'm just saying try it out.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, obviously if you're in a bad spot and you have to do it, there's, you know, you can use people like myself for suggestions on how to get, you know, how to get by. But, you know, I think from the freeing aspect of just being out here and being able to not being tied down and stuff, I think it's something that, you know, I think everybody should try it out at least once, even just for a couple of weeks, just to see, you know, because for me, a lot of this had to do with not only trying to save money, but also to see what the heck I'm made of.
Yeah.
You know, and what because, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life and I've done some crazy things, but I still led a relatively sheltered life to a certain extent because I grew up in the suburbs of, you know, I grew up in a tiny little town in Pennsylvania. And then I grew up, you know, the rest of the time was in the suburbs of Long Island. So, you know, this is a brand new experience for me. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's definitely ways to find freedom right now. And like you were saying before, you know, even if the government were to collapse tomorrow, a new one would probably be put in its place because the mindset isn't there yet for the majority of people.
Right, right.
So the best you can do right now is try to obtain as much freedom as you possibly can. And, you know, I think doing things like this, it definitely frees you. It frees you up in ways that some I was expecting, others I wasn't, and it's a good feeling, man. It's interesting. So,
yep. I would also close by saying I think that you're doing a good job and a good example of practicing delayed gratification. And anyone who doesn't know what delayed gratification is should Google it. People who end up rich tend to be good at delayed gratification. Like, you could be more comfortable and spend your money on a cheap hotel right now.
Oh, I could get an apartment right now if I wanted to, because I sold my house.
Right, but you're delaying gratification so you can get, you know, a more better place for you and your family somewhere else down the road.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
So Google delayed gratification,
or the marshmallow test. Check that out too, folks.
Oh yeah,
that's all about delayed gratification.
All right, Worms, man, thank you for your service.
Worms, brother.
Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.